some guy walks up to me in the middle of Munich. He says to me,
"This is the Rich Eisen Show."
Aren't you Susie Schuster's husband?
No.
With guest host, Susie Schuster, live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
If I'm Vrabel, I'm just like, "Here, Derek, here's the ball.
Touchdown, tight, Derek Henry."
Earlier on the show, Rich Eisen, ESPN host Jeremy Sheff, 49ers defensive end Nick Bosa. Coming up, Cardinals defensive end J.J. Watt. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Susie Schuster.
Hey, everybody. Susie Schuster here with you for the third hour of the Rich Eisen Show, also known as Rich Eisen's Wife. But I far prefer it when people, complete strangers, come up to Rich in Munich and say, "Aren't you Susie Schuster's husband?" That's the way it should be, right, Marshall Falk, who's calling in on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line, don't you think, Marshall?
That's the way it always is.
I mean, let's just call it like it is. I like top billing, correct?
You know, listen, Rich understands. He gets it. He gets it. Nobody knows better than him.
Or you, by the way, because my seat next to him is lonely here, Marshall. I don't like being here without you.
I know. I'm sorry. I let you down. This will not happen again.
No, don't let it happen again. Let's talk about Derrick Henry, because the question of the day is he already a Hall of Famer? What do you believe, Marshall Falk?
If you just look at his body of work thus far, and what we anticipate for it to continue in this realm, obviously as you get older, there's going to be a little drop off. But what we need now is just longevity. We need to see this sustained, this greatness sustained just for periods of time. And, you know, we're going to be able to usher him in. And then the question is, as we do it, is he a first ballot Hall of Famer, or is he, you know, in the Hall of Fame? It's all of those things, you know, those rooms inside of rooms that we talk about when we get to these levels.
Has he done enough already, though? Just with the 2 years, just with how he's played, is he already assured?
Ah, man, it's tough to say yes. Obviously, we've seen guys who have had the same, a similar type of impact on the league, and let's say their careers were cut short. I think if your career is cut short, if something happened to him and he could not continue this, it would be, people would look at it like, okay, he would have been in, compared to if he just fell off. There's two, Terrell Davis. We knew if Terrell Davis did not hurt his knee, what his career would have been. First ballot Hall of Famer. He was on his way. But because of what happened, now you look at his body of work and then you have to kind of forecast what it would have been compared to, let's just say if he didn't get hurt and he played those years and had a similar career, they probably wouldn't have let him in.
Marshall Falk joining us here on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line. Marshall, we saw a pretty dejected Aaron Rodgers last night talking about throwing a bunch of wobblers, saying his thumb is still not where it wants to be, but he's not blaming it. What are your reactions to watching Aaron Rodgers after the game last night?
He's human. You know, I'm not gonna lie to you. You know, we used to talk about, you know, if you were starting a team, like, what quarterback do you want? And it was like Aaron Rodgers. And obviously this was pre Patrick Mahomes, but I've never seen him look so mortal or so human. And all the cryptic interviews that he's been doing, it was for him to say, yeah, that was me. Yeah. It was like, man, that's the kind of leadership I like, that right there. Because when the guys were dropping balls or other things were happening, you know, he was really not pointing the finger, but just stating the facts. Because sometimes when we do interviews, we don't want to blame people or say what it really is. We know you're watching the game. We know you get it. But he was being very candid. And last night, a lot of what happened was on him. And, you know, I like where he is right now. I know a lot of people are pissed off and they don't like the way, you know, he's going about his business. But I think Aaron Rodgers is tired of having the best record in the league and they're losing in the playoffs, he's looking at championships and saying, okay, I have one. Well, what's that? What's that? When you look at Brady and what he has, well, what's that?
But what's he to do then, Marshall? Because I think that if he didn't have 59 million reasons to stay, would he walk away, do you believe, or do you believe that he has more in him? Does he want to? What do you think will be the answer there?
Well, I'll say this. You know, he was talking about walking away, and Green Bay was talking about wanting him to walk away. Well, if Green Bay was waiting for a body of work to say, well, maybe we need to be playing Jordan Love, well, this could be it. If you really want to, this could be it. And here's what I know. This team is not equipped to be playing with Jordan Love at quarterback. I mean, we're watching Aaron Rodgers struggle with this team. This team isn't equipped. And they have to look at it. They're missing a couple of pieces. They're missing a couple of pieces. They got exposed last year in the playoffs. And obviously, we know they had some offensive linemen that was hurt. They kind of patched it together last season. And, you know, Aaron felt like they didn't address their needs. And so he voiced that. And obviously, we know Devontae got out of there. But listen, man, if this divorce is going to happen, this is like Aaron Rodgers is giving them reason to maybe – Is he on the downhill? Where is he? Like this is it.
Marshall, we got a pretty big game in Minnesota this weekend. When are we going to start taking the Vikings seriously? What's it going to take? Is it going to take another big win over a tough, you know, conference team in Dallas? Like, what's it going to take for us to really look at the Vikings as contenders?
I am so impressed with what Kirk Cousins is doing. I've always said that he was the reason, like, if they needed him to win, if they needed him on his arm, he couldn't win a game. At the team, when they played well, they could always win. But now I'm seeing Kirk Cousins be the reason why they win games. Justin Jefferson making great throws. I mean, making great catches, but it's the throw. Kirk Cousins wouldn't throw a lot of these balls that he's throwing. And just what he's doing. And it's just so ironic, you know. Dak Prescott will be across the field watching Kirk Cousins, and he's watching his future. He's like, well, what we used to think about Kirk Cousins is what we're now saying about Dak. I think his record against teams that are 500 or better is like 16-17. It's unbelievable. Like, you can't beat good teams. And what does that mean? That means you can't win in the playoffs. That's the problem the Cowboys that they've been having. So, man, this is like one of those big games we get midseason that could possibly be the NFC, you know, championship. And I can't wait to see how both of these quarterbacks respond. Dallas as a team, but Kirk Cousins coming off a game, and now he's getting praised. Man, this is awesome. This is so good. I can't wait to watch these two teams go at it.
Yeah, what did I hear earlier in the week that Kirk Cousins is now being encouraged to throw it into super tight windows, like throw those contested balls just to see if Jefferson can make the play, right?
Yeah, he's a conservative quarterback. His problem was he would only throw the ball to open guys. And when you get in the playoffs, guess what the problem is? Your guy won't be that wide open. You have to throw those I trust you balls. Those 50-50 balls and watch your guy go get it. And he wouldn't make those throws, and now we're watching him make those throws. And it's like, being an elite quarterback isn't just about the throw. It's about believing and having faith that the receiver is going to catch the ball and protect you as a quarterback. That's what this comes down to. And Justin Jefferson. I mean, Uno came and stole the show last year. Ja'Marr Chase, and Justin Jefferson. It's like, I'm going to take it right back, because a year, 2 years ago, it was about me. And just imagine, these two young men played opposite each other. Unbelievable. Unbelievable to watch what Justin Jefferson is doing. And it's not like when he came in, they just gave it to him. Like, he went, took the one spot. He went and said, I'm the number one in his offense. Adam Thielen, you're the number two. And it's impressive to watch what he's doing.
Yeah, no
it's
wonder.
Impressive. The numbers that he's putting up. Look at the numbers he's putting up.
Yeah.
Marshall Faulk here on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone lines. Are you at all concerned about the mistakes that Josh Allen is making, Marshall?
No. No, I think Josh has to make these mistakes to get him to the next level. Now, let's be critical. Let's stay on him, because that's what we do all quarterbacks. But that, oh, he hadn't thrown an interception in the red zone and missed many tries for a reason. He was probably being too conservative. So now he'll know when the games are tight, when things are on the line. He'll understand what his limitations are and when he's taking chances, where to take the chances. I think this is just a part of the maturation of a quarterback. It's like he's learning, like, okay, this thing is on me. I carry the load. I'm getting all the accolades. I need to make the plays. I need to be the reason we win or the reason we lose. And that's the quarterback position. You can't be iffy. You can't be, when you play that position, you're the reason the team wins and you're the reason the team loses. That's why in the history of football, when you talk about players and you talk about coaches, you talk about a head coach and a quarterback when you talk about wins and losses. You never hear, hey, Marshall Faulk, oh, yeah, his win-loss record. Nope. Quarterbacks and head coaches for a reason.
What other question marks might you have for this weekend's games, Marshall?
Oh, man. I really don't have any. I like where the league is right now. I like the fact that all the teams are really starting to show. Is Kansas City, LA Charger game, such a big game. And for Brandon Staley, you know, is everybody when they're in trouble? Sean Payton is possibly the coach coming. Like, is Sean Payton like the replacement for everybody right now?
It seems like
it. Seems to underperform. It's crazy how his name continues to get thrown around. But this team, Justin Herbert, anytime you put him and that Mahomes in a game, hey, I'm watching. I got it. They got my attention. And what a big game to watch them two, these two young quarterbacks. And just think about how long they're going to battle. How long they're going to battle. Can I give a little props to Seattle and what they're doing? Because I talk so much crap about Seattle because they're in the West, you know, with the Rams, and I don't give them a lot of credit. But, you know, it's just impressive. You lose to Russell Wilson. Geno shows up. And where Geno has this team in first place, that's impressive. And I wish I could give Russell Wilson a hug. He needs a hug. He really needs a hug. He don't need to ride. No ride, just a hug.
Hey, Rich. Sorry. Hey, Marshall. Rich said 2 weeks ago that Tua is an elite quarterback. What have you seen out of what's going down in Miami? You like what you see out of Tua so far?
You know, I now can see the talent that he is. There was just a lot of question marks around him. And he doesn't have to play tough. Tua, we know you're fragile. He's elite. He's elite. Like, what the kid is doing, you just don't get to do that. And if they have the talent around him and the protection for him, the running game to help him, and with his defense and what they've done, I am impressed at what the Miami Dolphins have done. And let's not forget, you know, they came off a pretty rough offseason. Nobody was really focused on the football aspect of it because we had some social issues with what was going on with the Miami Dolphins. And I like where they are as a team. This head coach has proven that, you know, he can lead men. Now, I have to do this for Rich. Hey, you guys, the Jets have a chance of making the playoffs. The Jets.
No, don't you love the Come fact on. That maybe it, his maybe your reception crapped out just because you're saying the Jets have a chance?
Jets for Rich, for Rich Eisen, the Jets. This is awesome, and I'm gonna say it: when the Jets and the Giants are good, football is so much better.
It's been a long time though, Marshall.
Like I said, so much better. Been a long time.
Last question:
at
what
the
is
same
the
time?
Yes,
both
sorry.
Be good at the same time. Oh, I'm happy for Rich. My heart is full. My heart is full for Rich.
He doesn't ask for a whole lot. You know that, right? He asked for just a Michigan win over Ohio State, the Jets to be competitive, and what would be the third thing? Me to leave him alone for an hour? He doesn't ask for a whole lot. Come on, Marshall. Give him the Jets, right?
I could not do this show and not talk about the Jets. I send him little text messages about his team like, hey, here's what it is. In the sea, I love Robert Saleh. I could play for that man.
Really? Why? What is it that you love so much about him?
When he got these players to believe, we bought into that if you went to the Jets, there was a curse. And he said, the losses and the things that happened, you guys weren't even born. Zach Wilson was like, hey, Zach, you can't even be responsible for this. You weren't born when this happened with the Jets. You're not responsible for all the losses, so let's not play into the narrative. And early in the season, he said, we will play good ball. And I know, along with me, you guys were like, yeah, right, we've heard this before. He fit the New York mindset. Perfect coach. Both coaches. Both of them.
Well, from his team to yours, what do you think is the way out for the Rams from their current predicament, Marshall?
Oh, this is it. This is, listen. Here's it. You pushed all the chips in last year. You won, and this is what you get. This is what happens the year after. They just don't have the talent. And I'll be up front on the offense and defensive line, minus the one or two guys that they have that we know of. They're not good enough up front.
Well, that's pretty succinct.
Let's just be real.
Yep, that's telling them like it is.
They are not good enough. The defensive line, they're not good enough. The offensive line, they're not good enough. And when you're not good enough on those two areas, you struggle as a team. Don't even worry about coming off a Super Bowl season. You struggle as a team. I mean, teams come in, they can just get sacks. This offensive line might be one of the and I'm sorry because they've been playing musical chairs. They've had so many guys hurt. But the collection of talent. I mean, what they're on the third tackle. I mean, the left guard has had, I don't know, 19 concussions. I mean, it's just they've had multiple centers. It's not good. You cannot do this up front. That's the one place you have to be healthy or your season is going to be challenging.
Last question for you, Marshall. What's your favorite dish on Thanksgiving?
Oh, man, my favorite dish. I love, and I make them now since my mother's along with it, a stuffed bell pepper. With ground meat and shrimp, with cornbread seasoning on top of it, cornbread dressing on top of it, not cornbread dressing, cornbread crumbles on top of it. Oh, I can't wait.
Okay, I can't wait to try it. Next time you come up, I can't wait for you to bring me some of that to try.
I got you.
All right, then. You always do. You always do. Marshall Faulk, thanks so much for calling in.
Thank, Thanks for allowing me to ride in the sidecar, Sue.
Honey, honey, the chair's always open for you. You're like my Elijah, so to speak.
See you, Marshall.
Bye, Marshall. Thanks a lot. 2000, 2008, 2022, when it comes to the economy, these are scary years. Dot-com crash, housing crash, and the roller coaster we're going through right now. One thing is certain, it's a dangerous time to not know your numbers. But over 31,000 businesses have the confidence and clarity that they need because they rely on NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, and budgeting so you can manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. Everything you need all in one place. So how do you prepare for uncertain times? The answer is NetSuite. NetSuite helps you identify rising costs, automate your business processes, and easily see where to save money. That's why 93% of customers say that they've improved their visibility and control when they upgraded to NetSuite. What are you waiting for? Right now, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/richradio right now. netsuite.com/richradio. netsuite.com/richradio. Your calls and JJ Watt still ahead on this Friday edition of The Rich Eisen Show. Don't go anywhere.
Influencer. It's a word that gets tossed around a lot these days. There is a woman who went the distance, who broke ground as the first true influencer by living a remarkable life. Her name, Elizabeth Taylor. I'm Katy Perry. This is the story of the original influencer. This is Elizabeth the First. Elizabeth the First, the podcast, wherever you listen.
The World Tournament of Soccer kicks off next week in Qatar, and to make sure you're up to speed, we present Qatar Kick Around. All this week, the Kick Around guys are providing a primer of episodes for those watching their very first World Tournament or anybody who just wants to learn more. And group previews all the way from A through H and predicting how they'll turn out. Will the U.S. even get out of their group? Will we get a surprise first-time winner? Or will we get the storybook ending of Messi finally lifting the trophy? Andy, Peter, and Lars are your soccer friends from the group stage to the final, all available at thekickaround.com or wherever you listen.
This NFL season, every Westwood One NFL broadcast streams live for free. Mondays, Thursdays, Sunday nights, Thanksgiving, and Christmas triple headers, the international series, and every postgame is free on Westwood One NFL broadcasting. That is really impressive and really generous and really great. Great way to find the NFL. So Rich was down and out, obviously, took the day off yesterday and today, but he wasn't so down and out that he didn't have a chance to catch up with the Cardinals defensive end, J.J. Watt. And here he is.
Joining me here prior to Monday Night Football, taking on the San Francisco 49ers in a home game in Mexico City on Monday night, is the three-time Defensive Player of the Year and perennial Pro Bowler, J.J. Watt. How are you, sir?
I'm well. How are you, sir?
I'm hanging in there. Let's just jump into it. How is K.J. Watt doing? How's little K.J. Watt doing?
He's doing good, man. He's doing really well. Loving it. Loving life.
So you are, what is he, 4 weeks old now? 3.5 weeks old? Where are we?
Yeah. You got it. Good job.
You know, I come prepared.
It's impressive every time.
I appreciate that. I want to impress you, but in all seriousness, this is the first time you're playing football with fatherhood as well. I'm truly curious as to how that is working out for you so far.
It's great, man. It's awesome. It's, obviously, you know, everybody always says it gives you a sense of purpose. It gives you, you know, some extra added meaning to life in general. But it also, it just, you know, after Minnesota, we lost, and it was a tough loss. And, you know, you're always tough on yourself after losses. But then when you walk in the door, and that was my first game after having Koa, you walk in the door and you get to hold your son and you get to feed him, you know, everything kind of goes away for a little bit, and it's just the greatest thing in the world. And then this week, obviously, we win. We're in L.A. We win. I get to come home. And so when your bad days are bad, you get to come home, and he makes it all better. And when your good days are good, you get to come home, and he makes them even better. So it's awesome.
And it balances things out. I knew, you know, J.J., I just know that you're a dad that gets in there, man. You are on diaper duty, right? You're doing the whole thing.
Oh yeah. I I mean, my wife obviously does an unbelievable amount of the work while I'm here getting ready for games and on the road. But when I get home, I try and do my best to do the feeds, diapers, things like that, try and take some pressure off her and get some good quality time with the little man.
I love it, man. That is so cool. And congratulations to you and your wife on that. And in terms of the football season, you just mentioned a big win against the Los Angeles Rams in LA. How does one win just kind of change things and the mood around a team like that, JJ?
You know, it's obviously it's, we haven't had the start that we wanted, but when you get a win on the road against a division opponent, it's always big, and it gives you that boost, it gives you that energy. You know, you have a couple losses and it's tough, you know, the mood's a little bit different, but then you win and all of a sudden everything is cured and you're happy and practices are going well and everything feels better. So it's very difficult to win this league. So when you do, you got to cherish it, but you also have to try and build off it and continue that momentum. And that's what we have to do this week.
And then, you know, this is your first of two games against San Francisco. So the division is still there. I mean, I know that you've already played Seattle twice, but San Francisco has an opportunity to take over this division this weekend. And you have a chance to just make sure that doesn't happen and hold serve. I'm wondering if this is something you guys are talking about in your locker room at all, JJ?
I mean, we understand the position that we're in right now. We understand that we've put ourselves in a position that's not the most ideal where we want to be, but we also know that if we play good football and we take care of what we need to take care of, we have a chance to put ourselves in a much better position. But we can only control what we can control.
Yep.
And 1 week at a time. I'm going to see how many cliches I can fit in here.
That was two of them.
All we can do is go out there, and when they roll the ball out, we play football.
Do you know how to say it is what it is in Spanish? You might need that for this weekend.
I've been working on my Spanish this week. It's getting there. I can survive, but I'm not going to be fluent.
Well, I mean, you know, I could do that right now. I'm right in front of a computer to tell you about the it is what it is right now. Hold on a minute. I'm typing it in. It's S-L-O-K-S. I think that's that. There you go. S-L-O-K-S.
S-L-O-K-S.
Yeah. Sí. You know, we're getting
muy bueno.
We're getting hooked on phonics right here with JJ Watt prior to Monday Night Football taking on the San Francisco 49ers. And now, obviously, McCaffrey's in this mix. What are you seeing on film that that he's added that now might ratchet up the degree of difficulty for you guys this weekend?
Well, he can throw the ball pretty well, apparently, so I've learned that. he's a weapon, and they have weapons. They have guys all over. And one of the most impressive things about this team is how they break tackles. And he's another guy that they've added to that mix who's phenomenal at breaking tackles, who you get him out in open space. He's very difficult to get down, so it's going to be up to us to make sure that we put them in tough situations, but then when they do get the ball in their hands, we all have to swarm and try and tackle them and get them down because they've made some highlight reel plays on making guys miss.
And in Jimmy G, what's the plan of attack here? Obviously, this is not your first rodeo trying to go put him down on the turf, but in terms of the past and what you're seeing now, what is that challenge, JJ?
Yeah, I mean, he obviously does a great job in their offense, and their offense works as an entire unit collectively together, and they do it very well. That's why they succeed. So for us, our whole game is just to try and make them uncomfortable, put them in situations that they don't want to be in, where they have to do things that they don't want to do. Now, obviously, that's what every team ever is trying to do, but that's our number one thing, is try and get them off schedule and kind of try and allow ourselves to try and put them in situations they don't want to be in.
I asked this question of another pass rusher colleague of yours you're going to be seeing down there in Mexico City, in Nick Bosa. Do you have any two cents on the field turf and the playing on grass as opposed to many of the non-natural surfaces? There's been a lot of conversation amongst boldface name players in the NFL. You're certainly one of them. Do you have any stance on this subject, JJ Watt?
I can say something wild if you want me to give you a headline, but I can speak honestly with you on it.
Please.
I mean, if all conditions are equal and everything, it's a sunny 75-degree day, I want to play on grass. I want to play on good quality grass. I think everybody would choose good quality grass on a clear day. Now, once you get into wet, rainy games, you get into snowy games, that's when I'd personally, as a pass rusher, rather have good quality footing and be on a good, solid quality turf.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I want I want to play on whatever the best possible conditions are to have a good, clean game. There are some turfs that are better than others, and I definitely think there are turfs that could be better. I think there are a lot of turfs that could be better. But like I said, if all things are equal and it's a 75-degree sunny day, 10 times out of 10, I'd rather play on grass.
J.J. Watt here on Monday Night Football. Rich Eisen show as well, getting ready for the Week 11 finale against the San Francisco 49ers. So before I let you go here, your belief in this team's ability to get in the playoffs right now from your current position and you having been on playoff teams before and what you're seeing in that locker room right now, and we're all wondering if your quarterback's healthy enough to play on Monday night when we're recording this. I'm wondering what your two cents on that subject are, J.J.
I'm always going to have belief in my team. I'm going to have belief in our guys. We're going out there. We're preparing. We're practicing. Like every single game is a playoff game for us because that's what it has to be. With the situation that we're in, we have to treat it like that, and that's what we're going to do. So it all starts Monday night in Mexico City, and we have to go out there and do whatever it takes to get a W.
Okay. And, you know, I never look for a headline from you. I always want you to speak straight from the heart.
Come on.
No, seriously. That's my one.
But I am. I mean, I did see the Germany game, and I did see, you know, there were issues with the grass out there. And There's definitely a difference between how grass is prepared for soccer games.
No question.
And how grass is prepared for football games with 300-pound guys, you know, pushing on each other for an entire 3 hours. So they've had games in Mexico City before. I'm hopeful and confident that they will have a great grass for us, and that it'll be a good opportunity. But I'd be lying if I hadn't asked about it already.
Okay, sounds good. That was my wind up actually for this pitch for the last question for you. At age 33, you got a little kid at home. Are you thinking about the end of your career right now, JJ?
I'm thinking about the San Francisco 49ers in Mexico City on Monday night.
Okay, brother. I'm glad to chat with you. I appreciate you taking the time. I really do. And, let everyone know where you're registered. We'll fill up the Watt household.
No, I won't tell you because you're going to send some Michigan blue onesie, and I don't need that in my house, you know?
Well, I was not going to even bring up this subject at all, you know, but I still drink
I
out
did
of
it
the...
for you. I wanted to give you a chance to gloat. When things are good, you should have your opportunity. Go ahead.
We didn't even play Wisconsin this year. We didn't even play them.
I know. It's probably right now. You guys got a big one coming up down the road. I'm actually looking forward to watching that game that you guys got coming up in a couple weeks.
Oh, I already spoke to Nick Bosa about that one as well. I bet. I'm talking
bet
with my chest
cool,
right now. Well, yeah. I mean, look, we're the ones going for the winning streak.
You have a cool, little coffee cup bet like you had with me?
You know what? I don't believe I put anything on the line like that one. I was a touch more confident with you a couple of years ago. And that cup, that mug that sits on my desk that holds Rich Eisen's tears that you sent me with you. By the way, you have a great photograph of you as a Wisconsin Badger. That cup is dry right now. There's no liquid in it, as you know.
No. So. Yeah, you don't have any. So hopefully for your sake, there are no more this year. I wish you the best of luck in that endeavor.
And same to you in the endeavor on Monday Night Football, J.J. Watt. Best to you and your family. Right. Thanks for the time, brother.
Thanks, Rich. Have a good one.
All right, J.J., look at this. It's empty. There's no tears. No tears. Although I'm going home after this, so you never know. Nah. J.J., also, other thing, in case you're out there watching, you're worried about him sending you a onesie. I'm the one who does the shopping. That's a big mistake. Big one. Huge.
Huge.
What movie?
Ah, oh, that's Pretty Woman, Julia
Thank
Roberts
you. Thank
at
you,
the Regent.
Big Beverly... mistake. Big one. Huge.
Big one. Huge. Chris, I got to say, I've done a 180 on J.J. Watt. I used to be part of the members of the media. He used to kind of bag on J.J. because it seemed like everything he did was for the camera. You know, like, oh, I'm catching passes from the jugs machine on Hard Knocks because the cameras are rolling. And
Bradley,
you know, I'm working out in my cabin that's got an elevator.
Like, you're just jealous.
Like, come
he doesn't
on, bro.
Have faith in people.
Well, you know, maybe.
I love how you called yourself a member of the media. Are we members of the media? I mean, I know
adjacent?
We're influencers and content creators. But
well, I'm an award-winning journalist, so I don't know what you are, but I'm a member. I have that on my resume to be a member of the media. Hmm. But
does that count in Maine, though?
Good point.
Nothing counts in
anyway,
Maine,
I just
way.
Want to say, like, I think JJ's awesome now. Like, I really enjoyed, you know, what he's done the last few years, you know, the things that he did with the hurricane relief in Houston and just going to Arizona. Now he's a father now. We have that in common, in addition to being jacked physical specimens.
Well, also just watching.
He's just awesome. My whole point is this: I've done a 180 on the guy.
Right. Just JJ, if you're watching, yeah. Let's review. I'm the one who buys the gifts, and Chris thinks you're awesome.
I think you're awesome.
You know, I've been watching Hard Knocks, you know, catching up, and just, you know, we heard the story. It didn't really make a lot of news outlets, but when they had to shock his heart back into
rhythm.
So that kind of happened over the last episode of Hard Knocks, and, you know, he got really, you know, choked up because it was right as his son was being born. And obviously, whether you have kids or not, you understand that feeling just by sitting here and watching him go through that. And that was frightening. And for the guy to come back and still play that week.
Yeah, no doubt.
Crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
You can listen to the NFL and the NFL app on the Odyssey app, on WestwoodOneSports.com, via Westwood One Station Streams, or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports, sponsored by AutoZone. Also, really interesting conversation, I think, that both Nick Bosa had, as well as J.J. Watt, about the turf and about the grass. In college football, when I would travel, I'd go to so many stadiums where I'd be looking at the turf and thinking, this is just asking for an ACL sprain. Or blowout.
Yeah.
And I think that the NFL's got to be listening. When you're hearing some of the biggest stars taking their time in a pulpit to talk about the turf grass situation, I think you have to stop and listen.
Yeah, I know these guys really want grass, but it's like, and I totally understand that. It makes sense. But then you look at some of the horrible grass turfs that are out there, like Pittsburgh is notoriously bad. Washington, you kind of saw how that helped ruin Robert Griffin III's, knees back in the day. Like, there is a way to go about it where, you know, you can switch to the field turf that's, you know, high quality, 100%. Like, everyone goes with it. But I think MetLife announced today that they're going to switch their turf next year. So I know that was one of the stadiums that a lot of people had issues with. And, you know, hopefully we can come to a compromise. Because like Nick Bosa said, you're making too much money to have your best athletes go down because of field issues.
Maybe they need to hire Bill Murray and get him out there as the groundskeper, right?
Carl Spackler, where are you at?
Carl Spackler, Oliver, right? Across the NFL.
There's a crossover between a bluegrass and a Northern California Centimia. And the great thing about it is you could play, 18 holes in a day and then get stoned to the bejesus butt at night.
So that's pretty good. Not quite your Christopher Walken, but that's pretty good.
I've been working on that for a while,
You keep workshopping that, okay?
Oh, I will.
Okay.
Thanks Cinderella's so story here at Augusta.
I love that movie. That is a put the clicker down.
Yeah, we call it the remote drop.
Remote drop.
Remote drop.
And anytime that's on.
What's yours, Felly?
I actually still love Shawshank Redemption. I know that's one of yours, too.
Oh, love Shawshank, Fugitive.
Who do we have on yesterday? I don't remember. Who was it that said they hadn't seen? Was it Stephen Colbert who said he hadn't seen the Shawshank Redemption?
I've never seen any of those movies.
How do you not see Shawshank Redemption?
I've seen Caddyshack.
Or Caddyshack. Yeah. What's wrong with you, Stephen Colbert?
It doesn't make sense that he hasn't seen Caddyshack. Or either of those. I missed out that he didn't see Shawshank.
Yeah.
He did say that, too, yeah.
Wow. I don't get it. What are you doing with your life?
Disrespect is real.
Disrespect is real.
He's, I guess, sitting up writing jokes.
Yeah. I mean, since I have no shot of ever going on his show, I might as well say, what are you doing, Stephen?
Well, you know what Mike Tomlin says, though, Susie.
What?
You never say never.
Oh.
Never say never, but never.
What's the best cliche for sports? What is it?
Well, Rich's favorite is I don't have a crystal ball.
Right.
You know, one day at a time is good. It is what it is one of my favorites.
I think it is what it is special.
It's kind of works for everything. Hey, it's snowing outside. Do you got any comment? I mean, it is what
it is. I think the 100, we gave 100%. That's just the easiest thing.
I like they are who we thought they were.
Then you add your percentage accordingly.
Right.
They are who we thought they were.
But that really wasn't a cliche. I think Danny Green misspoke in a weird way. And
no,
then
I
just
said
kinda...
what he goes, the Bears are who we thought they were. And we let him off the hook.
I like that one. I'm a little unbiased.
I was supposed to be at that game and didn't go, man.
What happened?
My grandmother passed away, I helped organize a trip for six of our friends to. Actually, it was nine of us, and then I ended up not going to that game.
Jeez.
Yeah,
because was that on a Thursday?
That was a Monday, I believe.
Monday.
Yeah.
Where do we go after that one? That's a. I'm sorry, TJ.
Oh, it's all good. It was a while ago. Where she's at.
That was a while ago. Don't say it, Susie. I was going to make a joke off of that, but that's a tough joke.
Yeah,
so I'm just going to sit on that one and say we're going to go to break. Close up this Friday edition. Every so often, I can edit myself. Very rarely.
Mm-hmm.
That was just one of my sad, quick attempts to say,
Susie, right
don't
time.
Say it. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, Bill Belichick speaking today earlier at a press conference. And we always know when you ask Bill a question, you kind of take a deep breath. You hold your heart in your hands and you go for it. So he was asked earlier today about his excellent record coming off of a bye. This is today's Bill Belichick press conference moment.
Today's Bill Belichick press conference moment.
Well, we prefer to win.
Bill, historically your team's usually pretty good coming off a bye. How important is it for you and your staff to get that extra work in for that week to make sure they're ready to go?
Yeah, I hope we're better than we were last year. So, what? Year by year.
Well,
hold on.
What did he say?
So we have day by day, and
year
now
by
we
year.
And now we have year by year from Bill, and with Sean McDermott
was minute right? Hour by hour,
was hour by hour for Josh Allen,
and the Doobie Brothers are minute by minute.
That's just brutal.
You know.
You gotta dig deeper than
Bill's,
that.
Bill's amazing.
Remember when I said day by day was going to be the pinnacle, though? I'm telling you, day by day
was pretty good.
That was it.
Sneaky good games, boys. We need sneaky good games to close out this Friday edition. Let's go, Brockman. Let's go.
Come on.
Here's Chris Brockman with Sneaky Good Games. Contests likely to surprise you with their heretofore undisclosed competitive value.
It is just stupid how on fire I am, guys. 3-1 last week. We're 13-2-1 in the last month.
Woo!
24-12-2 overall, TJ. Oh, my gosh. That's so many pairs of sneakers that we can't get on the sneakers app.
Oh, don't bring that up.
All right, here we go. Here's what I'm liking this week. You know what, guys? I'll tell you what. Philadelphia, I don't know if they're going to lose their second straight, but they didn't look good against Washington. And now they're going to face Jonathan Taylor and Jeff. I'm all in on Jeff Saturday. Just give me the Colts +7. All right. That's a lot of points in a home game. Jeff Saturday. Oh, my. I just love it. Matt Ryan is going to run all over the place. +7 Colts. Atlanta and Chicago. Chicago has now entered in the realm of one of those teams. They just play weird games and they score a lot of points, but they give up a lot of points. And the Falcons are still kind of fighting for a playoff. Just give me over 49. More than 7 touchdowns in that game. Yeah, absolutely. New England and the Jets, looks there's going to be high winds in New England. I don't know. I think this is going to be a weird game. This is kind of like throw the records out. I don't love the spread in this one, but I think there could weirdly be a lot of scoring. 38 seems low. Usually when the number's that low, you go the other direction. I'm going over 38. And I love the G-men. I don't get disrespected. They're 7-2. Saquon's doing his thing and the Lions stink. Give me the Giants -3.
Brother Jefferson agrees with that.
Let's go.
Jones. Yeah, and you heard what Marshall said. It's nice to have both New York teams playing well.
Yeah.
Which is a rarity.
I mean, it doesn't matter to me. I care less, but.
Oh, I don't think the Jets are still very good, but their quarterback stinks. All due respect.
You said that very quietly.
You did.
Do you really have due respect?
You did not say that with your chest.
But also, when you say all due respect, you're not really respectful.
Well, no, but Rich doesn't like me to say that people stink because they're going to come on the show at some point and, like, you know.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
I think most people who watch this show know that you're a nasty New Englander anyway.
You're probably right.
I mean, what am I supposed to say? The Jets are great. No. I'm from New England.
Yeah, we don't believe that.
I mean, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like, I married a New Yorker. I'm from New England. When's the last time you went to a game in Foxborough? I still call it Foxborough.
It's been a long time.
A long time, right?
Yeah, it's been a long time.
I was
actually at, you know that the famous clip of Brady juking Brian Urlacher?
Yeah, yeah.
I was at that game. So it's probably been that long. I did go to a game in Buffalo in 07. Randy Moss had 4 touchdowns in the first half.
Wow.
Sorry, Mike Hoskins.
Favorite stadium you've ever been in?
That's tough. Well, look, I've never seen a game technically in SoFi, but I went there for a WrestleMania party a few weeks ago. I got to say, SoFi is
beautiful.
Unbelievable. Like, I've never seen a game there, but just the outside of the stadium, the inside of the stadium, down on the field. That's a wonder of the world right there.
And that's the thing. Are we talking about new stadiums? Because when we went to the Super Bowl in Minneapolis, they have a new stadium. Incredible facility.
Right.
But then there's just something about Fenway. There's something about Camden Yards, like those old parks.
I went to a game at Jacobs Field, and that was...
Oh, that's really special, too.
It was so special that I was sitting in the left field bleachers, and I had a pole right next to me, so I was wedged up against a pole trying to watch Nolan Ryan pitch. That's how long ago this was.
You're talking about the seats at Fenway, down the first baseline that points towards the outfield.
Yeah, right.
Like, where am I supposed to look?
It's kind of like asking a parent who your favorite child is. Like, last night, Xander said, "Mom, I'm your favorite, right?" And I said, "No."
Yeah,
I love you all the same.
Wink.
Same with my dog. I really love Hudson, my old dog, the most. But I see him right there.
You know, I keep notes here in my notebook here because, you know, we write stuff down. And there's something I've been meaning to ask you for a while that Rich said. Next time Susie's in, ask her.
Oh, God.
He said to ask Susie about the ultimatum.
Oh, geez.
So, AutoZone, you can listen to the NFL on the NFL app, on the Odyssey app, on WestwoodOneSports.com, via Westwood One Station Streams, or by asking Alexa, open Westwood One Sports, sponsored by AutoZone. Hey, it's been great being with you
here
on the Rich Eisen Show.
I'm
loving coming in. I really enjoy spending time with TJ Jefferson.
Because it's written down.
And with Chris Brockman, with Jay Felly, CeCe, with Mike, with Liz, with Adam. Thank you to all of you for holding me up. And thanks for watching this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Rich will be back in the chair on Monday, unless, of course, I put a little poison in the chicken soup. Happy Thanksgiving,
we'll
everybody.
See you Monday.
It could be information to change your life forever. Or the Something You Should Know podcast could just be something interesting.
Ramit Sethi, talking about being rich.
The old definition of rich had a lot to do with how much money you accumulated, but it wasn't about how to spend it. It was more about how to get it. But okay, so once you get it, what do you do with it?
In our culture, everybody tells you how to save, but nobody teaches you how to spend it.
Something You Should Know, wherever you listen.